Lord, the worship and the praise of our Father. On this, the first Sunday of the year 2019. I remember when people were running around crazy and tweaking just before 2000. Oh, at the end of 1999, people were just losing their minds. Didn't know what to expect for 2000. Expected the world to come to an end, earthquakes and diverse places to just show up, all kinds of cosmic things going on for the year 2000. Scared that all the computers were going to shut down, didn't know what they were going to do as 2000 approached. And it's 2019. The computers run and do more stuff than we want them to do. We are yet alive. Yeah, there have been earthquakes in diverse places over these years, but guess what? God is still good, and He has allowed us to be here and to celebrate this, the first Sunday of January. And sometimes when you can't think of enough words to say, it's all right to say, oh.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, how good you are. Oh, ooh, whoa. I tell you what. These last few years have been, whoo, a boat ride. The tossing of storms, like nobody's business. But we praise God for 2019. And we look forward to all of the things that He has in store for us, good or bad, because the Word tells us that all things work together for our good. For those who love the Lord and for those who are called according to His purpose. And we love God. And we know that we are called according to His purpose. So come what may, we know that this year is going to be a blessed year that the Lord has given us. We thank you and we invite you to turn with us this morning. I'm trying to calm down. That's what I'm trying to do. So that we can share with you a word from the Lord. I tell you the truth, as I was working on this, my week had gotten busy, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know whether or not we're going to have something to say on Sunday. I don't know. But whether I got something to say or not, God has something to say. And so we thank Him that we will go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. And in your hearing, I shall read verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 4. The Word of God from the New King James Version. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. My brothers and my sisters, God's word for us, God's people. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you, oh God, for the truth of your word. Thanks be to you, oh God, that you did not keep it for yourself. But you, oh God, in your infinite wisdom, knew that we mere mortals, bearers of human flesh, would need your word to guide us and to order our steps. Thanks be to you, oh God, for your everlasting love, for you did not leave us alone to fend for ourselves. Thanks be to you, oh God, for being the preacher today, the teacher today, the one who will impress upon our hearts, God, the practicality of your word, Lord, and how, oh God, we need you and we need your word to navigate the streams of life. And so have your way with us today, oh Lord. Be with us today, oh God. Live in us today, oh Lord. And change us, Lord, that each day that we live, oh God, our lives, Lord, will bring glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we pray. The Lord God was molding me and shaping me and preparing me for a life of preaching and teaching and pastoring. He created within me a passion and an insatiable appetite for his word. I just couldn't seem to get enough. I couldn't get enough of reading his word. I couldn't get enough of studying his word. I just could not get enough. And although I struggle with sometimes remembering chapter and verses, I still do. I loved scripture. My favorite passage of scripture was Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104. And you may be familiar with it, but I just want to share with you because it still is very passionate to me. It's so much a part of my thinking and my being. The word says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. You through your commandments makes me wiser than my enemies. for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself, God himself, was teaching me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And I still love those words. There's nothing like the word of God. Reading God's word along with my commitment to Christ changed my life. It changed my life forever. It changed the way I live. It changed my mind and my thoughts. It changed my behavior and the way I related to people. God's word changed the words that I spoke and my attitude about life. God's word became my standard for living, my ruler, my yardstick. I found answers in God's word to innumerable problems in my life. God's word taught me how to be a respectable lady, wife, and mother, and now grandmother. It taught me how to be a faithful witness to Christ no matter where I go. The benefits of knowing and living God's truth are more than I can recount. Because I eliminated a whole lot of stuff. I knew that you didn't want to sit and just listen to me talk about me. But then more than I can recount. I can't. If I look over my life over these years where I've been reading and studying God's word, I can't tell you what the benefits have been for me. I can only pray that my decision to choose to walk in the light of God's word has greatly benefited my family. And I believe that it has. Imagine, if you will, the kind of world that we would live in if all the people of the world, and especially those of us who call ourselves by the name of Christ, would read and study and live by God's word. One thing for sure is that the leading cause of death in the world for 2018 would not be the 41 million abortions that took place. That is mind-boggling. 41 million babies murdered in 2018. What can you say but wow? Wow! Wow! 41 million babies killed, murdered under legal abortions. It's the leading cause of death in the world. Shame on us. Shame on us. And I was one of those people way back when I was younger, in my late teens, early 20s, who thought that it was okay because it wasn't alive. Baby, was it? Yes. It's a live baby. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Shame on us. Loving Jesus and living by the word of God changes everything. It changes everything. There's nothing in our lives that God's word cannot and will not touch when we simply say yes to him, to his will, yes, to his way, yes. Nothing in our lives cannot and will not be touched by God's word. So today, my brothers and my sisters, the Holy Spirit of God challenges each of us. The Holy Spirit of God encourages each of us to live by the word of God. And that is our theme for 2019, that we will live by the word of God. Actively live by his word, by the words of Jesus. After he was baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Luke 4:1-2. Matthew 4:2-4 records, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the contemporary English version translates Jesus' words this way. The scriptures say, no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken. We need, all people need every word that God has spoken to live by. And what that says to me is that we better start discounting God's word from Genesis to Revelation. But we do that over and over and over again. Jesus, God in the flesh, said, walking here on this earth, he said that we must live by every word. I didn't put it in the Bible. That we must live by every word. That all people need every word that God has spoken. So, the five major points that the Spirit speaks today. Point one, we've got to know who we are and whose we are. We got to know who we are and whose we are. And I know you've heard that from me multiple times. Jesus was and is the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is not only the only begotten Son of God, but he is God in the flesh. So he knows that. He knows who he is. But guess what? Satan knows that too. Satan doesn't come to congratulate Jesus. Oh man, you're doing good. God has called you. Wonderful. He doesn't come to congratulate Jesus. He does not support Jesus' position or his mission. He's there to destroy it. Crucial to the battle is Jesus' knowledge of himself, who he is and whose he is. Who are you? Who are you? Whose are you? Galatians 3:26 through 27 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." New King James. John 1:12 through 13 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." New King James. So if we have faith in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God is alive in us, we are the children of God. And so if we are the children of God, that's who we are, right? And if we are the children of God, that's whose we are. Crucial to any encounter that you have with the enemy of God is that you know who you are and whose you are. For if we are his, then Romans 8:16 tells us that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit confirms in us who we are and whose we are. So you gotta know who you are and whose you are. And you better stand flat-footed in that knowledge. Why? Point two. Satan will come after you too. He will come after you too. If he's bold enough to come after God himself, who are you that he will not choose to come after you? Don't think that because you live for Christ that he's not going to come. He's a thief and he's a roaring lion. Jesus said the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. When Satan comes, he ain't coming to play innocent games with you. He ain't coming to tickle you. He's not coming. He's coming to destroy your life. He's coming to kill your faith. He's coming to steal your joy and your blessings. My brothers and my sisters, once we know who we are and whose we are, the devil will be on us like white rice. He will attack your home, your car, your everything. Satan will attack your family, your marriage, your children, your friends. He'll show up on your job or anywhere that you might be. Even if you want to take a leisurely walk on the beach so that you can commune with God, guess what? He'll show up there. Satan will steal your money, your good name, your reputation. He will destroy your mind, your faith, and your dreams. The devil will attack your ministry and anything that you have in an effort to hinder your walk with God. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you are too holy and righteous for his attack. Sold out people. I am convinced that sold out people are the ones that Satan loves to hate best. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, the word of God tells the children of God, sons and daughters of God, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for fresh, raw meat. You are, I am, raw meat to Satan. Point three. Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to the devil. Don't give him a hair, an inch into your life. Resist him with all your might. Fight him with the power and the might of the Holy Spirit who is with you and in you. Call on the name of Jesus. Know that God himself is your weapon of warfare. Trust him. Depend on him. Obey him. He will fight your battle. Because after all, the devil is not just after you. He's really after God's anything that belongs to God. He wants to wreak havoc in our lives. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Point four, use God's word as your defense. Use God's word as your defense. Stop trying to figure out what did Gandhi say, or Churchill, or Obama, or anybody else. Use God's word as your defense. That's what Jesus did. When Satan showed up, and I don't know if you noticed, the devil can quote some scripture. And he always uses it, takes it out of context to suit his purpose, to convince you to do what he wants you to do. And he's looking at the one. He's standing before the one who gave us the word. And he's trying to trip up the giver of the word with his own word. God's word is available to you. Use it as your defense. Because see, Satan knows that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he cleverly attacks where we are weak. But God's word builds us up and it helps us to be strong. And so we need to use it. Jesus was physically weak after 40 days of fasting. And Satan attacked him in his weakness. Command these stones to become bread. People are weak and hungry for all kinds of things. They're hungry and they're weak for power and prestige, for wealth and fame. They want to be the best, number one, better than anybody else. They desire to be seen and known and remembered and followed. There is a desire for temporal things, material things, tangible things, even intangible things. The bread that Satan tempts us with are things that we can touch and feel and smell and taste and see. They are all the things that we seek after. Jesus wants us to seek after him. Jesus speaks, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." John 6:27. I'm giving you the word. Bread, things, stuff, therefore, are not the most important things in life. A life in Christ is. A life lived by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is of utmost importance. So I entreat you again today, my brothers and my sisters, know God's word. Believe God's word. Amen. Have a plate full every day. Amen. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if that's what it takes for you. Eat it, chew it, digest it, meditate on it, and live it every day of your life. Saturate your very being in God's word. Keep all his statutes and his commandments. Hide God's word in your heart. Teach it to your children. Share it with your family and your friends. Let God's word be your standard, your guide, your life's map, your GPS. God's word is true. God's word has power. Yeah. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the hearts. I declare before you today, God's word will change your life forever. It is your defense and it is also your offense. Satan can't stand the truth. He can't stand the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So use it, and he will flee from it. Point five, my brothers and my sisters, finally, Jesus the Christ is God's living word. He is God's living word. He is the bread that we all need, the bread of life, who gives life. The word of God says, "As all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men," and it is still the light of men. Because when you ingest that living word into your body, I declare it will turn some lights on in your brain. It dispels the darkness. It brings truth into us. And we're never the same again. I'm not the same again. I'm not the same again. I've been changed. I've been changed. My husband can tell you, I've been changed. My children can tell you, I've been changed. Anybody who knows me and who knew me before can declare to you, I've been changed. And I'm not ashamed of the change that God's word has brought in me. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm not a fool running around thinking that I know what I'm doing, when I didn't know what I was doing. And God's word showed me, you don't know nothing. Nothing. So in our hunger, for bread, in our hunger for things, we must turn to Jesus, the living word of God, and feast on him. He feeds the hunger of our hearts. He feeds the hunger of our souls. He satisfies the spirit and the hungry mind. Jesus fills us to overflowing with the spirit of God, the gift of God that he has given to all who believe. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness today, my brothers and my sisters, if you want your life to be changed, he will fulfill your desire. So take Jesus, the word of God, and the bread of life into your heart. Let him rule. Let him reign. Let him guide your every step. Tell Jesus, order my steps. Yes. In your word, order my steps. In your word, dear Lord, lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, God, please. Send your anointing, I pray. Just order my steps in your word. Teach me your will. Bridle my tongue. Take charge of my thoughts. Help me to walk worthy. Help me to fulfill my calling. Order my steps in your word. Order my thoughts in your word. Guide my feet in your word. Wash my heart in your word. Show me how to walk in your word. Show me how to talk in your word. Hallelujah. Show me how to sing your praises, oh Lord, in your word. Please, Lord, please. I beg you today, God, just order, God, order my steps in your word. For I know, God, I know that I cannot live. I can't live by bread alone. I can't do it on my own. I will not live by bread alone. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't even want to attempt to do it, God. Because I know that I need your word. I know, God, that I have to have your word to live by every day. Your word, your truth that proceeds from your mouth, God. I gotta have it. Because see, I'm human. I have flesh. I am weak. And if you don't order my steps, God, I can't make it. And I want to make it, Lord. I want to make it with you. My brothers and my sisters, when we choose to live by God's word, we honor him and we praise him with our lives. He is glorified. God is glorified. Christ is glorified. So order my steps, Lord. Order my steps in your word. Don't you want God to order your steps in his word? I warrant you. We make fewer mistakes when we allow God to order our steps in His Word. And yes, He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Unless you dash your foot against a stone. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Spirit. It is the best decision that anyone can make. And when you invite him in, and the enemy shows up because he's coming, God's word will be there with you. God's word, Jesus the Christ, will fight your battle for you. So I offer you Jesus. I offer you Jesus. And if you're here today and you desire prayer, Reverend Jonathan and Minister Kenneth are here to pray with you. And sometimes even Sarah will, Miguel will pray with you too. But if you just simply desire to talk to God where you are, we're cool with that too. And so we will give you time to talk to the Lord. He can hear you. If you lift your heart to Him, He can hear you. You don't have to say anything out loud, but if that's what you want to do, then have at it. We just ask, invite you to talk to the Lord. And I'm going to ask Reverend Jonathan and Melissa that if they will, on this first Sunday in January 2019. At the appropriate time, we offer to you the invitation to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you so much for everything, Lord. We thank you that your breath is the breath that we breathe. That your life is a life that we live. And your word is the truth that we hide in our hearts, oh God, so that we will not sin against you. Help us, oh Lord, to read your word, to study your word, to eat your word and digest your word. Help us, God, to look to your word every day, Lord, for guidance, so that we may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you sent to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, to hold fast to your truth, so that in every situation, oh God, we will not falter, but we will be able to on a solid foundation. Because this world is ever changing, Lord. But we are so glad, God, that you are still the same. We are grateful that heaven and earth will pass away before even one jot or tittle of your word passes away. And we are grateful for Jesus the Christ, your living word. For on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground, God, is sinking sand. All other ground, all other faiths, all other beliefs, all of the doctrines and commandments and statutes are sinking sand. Only you, God, only you, God, are sure foundation. And for that, oh God, we give you praise. Thank you for 2019. Thank you for January 6, 2019. And for all that you have in store for us. this year, we give you praise. And we love you, God, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, our body, every fiber of our being. And we love our neighbor too, God.